On a weekend in late October, when the Huskers are 7-0, when Penn State beat Ohio State, and the Cubs are going to face the Cleveland Indians in the World Series, it's fitting that our scripture passage today comes from the book of the Bible formerly known as the Apocalypse. Apocalypse in Greek means revelation. God wants us to see the light. So we're looking and listening for the light of the Lord as it comes to us from Revelation, selected verses from chapters 21 and 22. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell among them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For the first things have passed away." The one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." And in the spirit he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It has the glory of God and a radiance like a very rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. It has a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates are inscribed the names of the 12 tribes of the Israelites. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river is the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Book of Revelation, I think, is the most misunderstood book in the Bible. So when you read it, don't read it as if it was this clear, linear, logical story. That's not how you're going to understand it. So there's no sense in trying to make a timeline to figure out when it's all really going to come crashing down. That's not the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is more like a kaleidoscope with these images that keep on folding into one another, giving us different ways of seeing and surprising us. Or if you will, it's like walking through an art gallery at a rapid pace where you see these dramatic images that come to you, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. That's the book of Revelation. It wants to give you the feeling of what it is to live in the grace of God, to give you a sense of the character of God's grace in human history and beyond human history. And it wants to give you a sense of the end of human suffering. So this is a book of grace, and it does so in one of those kaleidoscopic images with this image of heaven. I don't know about you, but when I get started with an image of heaven, I just automatically go back to Field of Dreams. Okay, baseball's on my mind, all right? But in Field of Dreams, where these spirits walk out of the cornfield, and one of them says to Ray, who owns the field, "Is this heaven?" And Ray says, "No, it's Iowa." You know, that's just beautiful. The beautiful thing about it is, you know, when we come to think about heaven, we need to think about it in earthly terms, things that make sense to us. Only in the book of Revelation, heaven isn't pictured in terms of Iowa or baseball. It's pictured as a city. And that's part of what I want to reflect on this morning, that image of the city. I always remember in graduate school, Professor Fluker, he would come into class singing. He'd been in worship the day before. He'd come into class singing. One of his favorite songs was the African-American spiritual, and he would sing, "Oh, what a beautiful city. Oh, what a beautiful city. Oh, what a beautiful city." Then he'd look over his glasses. "It's got 12 gates." Yeah. A city that has a wall, so it has boundaries, has an identity. There's a clarity for what this city is about. But it's got 12 gates, and they are open 7 days a week forever. There's an openness to this city, a welcome that all are welcome to come in, into this city of these people who know what they stand for. Because heaven, in this picture of 12 gates open 24 hours a day forever, this is a broadly inclusive place. That's what a church ought to want to be like too, isn't it? Broadly inclusive. It doesn't welcome one kind of people. It welcomes all sorts of peoples. There is in this city, among these cascading images, this kaleidoscope of images, there is this image of blood, but it's not the blood of the people. It's not the blood of the enemies. It's the blood of the one who was crucified long ago. And his blood purifies everything else. That's part of how the kaleidoscope works. His love, his blood, is this image of love flowing down, a love that makes everything new. The final victory is his. But the final victory is not simply at the end of time. The final victory was won long ago in Jerusalem on that hill on the cross. The end has already begun, and the end has been determined by the love, the self-giving sacrificial love that makes everything new and helps us to see what the world is all about. He has won. The winning has already happened. Now the end will work itself out over time, and it will make everything new, because that's what love does. The love of God makes things new. And so we have in this image of Revelation fading into a new picture, this one where the world is made new. There's one on the throne, but now the one on the throne fades into light, this light that beams and shows what's real and true. What's real and true is this suffering, sacrificial love from one who knows how to love redemptively for all time, the God who loves the world and gives meaning to life, and it lights the way. So when you live in this light, the light that streams from the throne in the city, you have no darkness. You are never in the dark. There are no tears, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. And you are never lost, never afraid, never confused, and never hopeless. You are in the light. You are living in the light 24 hours a day forever. And it gives you a sense of courage and calmness and hope and trust. In this place, in this light, you are always at home. To be in this city is to be in God. You are not home alone. You are in this city of celebration with the thousands streaming in, the thousands streaming in from every gate. There's joy and singing and celebration, and you're living in the light. You're living in God's grace together. The only judgment that is truly there is the judgment of those people who don't want to experience and to receive the grace. But everyone is invited and everyone is welcome. The image is not of some Garden of Eden, not some mountaintop experience far away from the realities of daily life. The image is one of a city in the middle of the social, economic, and political realities. That is where God lives, and that is where the light shines, where people experience and know and see in the light that we truly are interconnected and interdependent, that we're not all singing solos, we're singing in a giant heavenly choir with a symphony all around us. God doesn't start over and wipe it all away and begin again. God doesn't make all new things. Instead, God makes all things new. God makes all things new, which means that God takes what we have and transforms it, redeems it, changes it. Nothing that we do that is done in the love of Jesus Christ is ever lost. Every little thing that we do in this love is taken up to heaven and used. It's used and redeemed in the grace and the love of God. Every nail hammered in the name of justice is taken up. And every brick laid in housing the homeless is taken up. And every vote cast in the cause of the common good is taken up. And every committee meeting the faithful attend to bring faith, hope, and love to fruition, it's taken up and used in God's grace. Which is to say, everything that you do in love matters and is never lost. It matters eternally. God takes it and perfects it and uses it, and it's part of the works of grace that clothe the faithful in this cosmic bridal gown that is part of the celebration of Jerusalem coming down in this city. In this city, in these gates, with all the people streaming in, and they're only streaming in the city, they're never going out, because you're always welcome to come to the celebration. People coming from north and south and east and west and all of the differences of the world celebrated. And it says the tree in this city, the leaves are for healing. And we know Jesus is about healing the individual, but what we see in this image is Jesus using the leaves of this tree for the healing of the nations. So there's no horror in the world, no geopolitical animosities or hatreds that cannot be transformed in the redeeming love of God. The leaves of these trees are there to find ways so that all these peoples who have hurt each other can find ways to make the impossible possible, so that enemies become friends who begin to love one another. There are new possibilities in this city. The nations walking together in the light of God, in the midst of all their differences, walking in the light of God, celebrating in the kingdom of God. 12 gates, and they're eternally open, eternally streaming in, welcoming all, and God is making all things new. Making all things new, and it doesn't mean that in the city everyone has to abide by a long list of morally correct actions or abide by a pious set of practices that need to be fulfilled. It's a holy city, and holiness means otherness, which means newness. God makes all things new. And we may not get things right in this world, but God takes our attempts and makes them new. This image of the city is about a transcendent God who invites us to discover that we can learn new ways to live. beyond our marketplace values, beyond the prevailing political winds, beyond the prejudices that we have inherited. Holiness is otherness, learning to live in new ways as our lives come to be defined by this love that is shining down upon us, the love that lights our way. The book of Revelation is marvelous. It's a dream, you know. It's a dream like an art gallery, a photo book, or a kaleidoscope. But to journey through these images is there to help us not just to foresee the future, but to see ourselves now, to see and remember what matters most here and now. We're not the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world. We can't save it all. But we can live in that light. We can reflect that light. And as we live in that light and let that light shine and be reflected in our lives, then other people come to see and experience what that love is all about. It's not just about what's coming in the future. What we do here and now matters. All the things we do, all the loving actions you take, the generosity you generate, the grace that you share, it matters. It matters now because you're reflecting the light so that others can see what matters. And it matters eternally because God takes it up and never forgets this. There are folks out there that are not living in the light. They need to let your light, they need your light to shine on them, to reflect that love of Christ. We ask as we gather together to do lots of things in our church life. What we're trying to do is to generate and help to see, help to discover together, help to embody together more and more of the light that we have been given. May we live in that light, because we know that what we do doesn't disappear for all times. Rather, it's taken up by God and used in God's grace. And we participate in that light. May this church continue to be a light in the city, a light in the city that keeps on reflecting that grace, that faith, hope, and love. May we reflect that love, that light, as we walk in the light and share the gifts that God has given to all of us, that we may see the love that has been a gift to us in Jesus Christ. Amen.